Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Drafts rolling right along last night. Hey, there goes Caleb Williams. That was expected. Hey, there goes Jaden Daniels. Okay, expect that. Hey, there goes Drake May. Sure, why not? At number eight, there goes Michael Penix. Whoa, wait a minute. What's going on? And it was fun from then on. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps. My buddy over there is Andy Baskin. Let's go to a man who lives, breathes, writes all about this for NFL.com. He's on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Great to have Eric Edholm back with us. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Eric.
Hey, good morning. What's going on?
You get any sleep last night?
I couldn't sleep. Like, I mean, I slept and then I sat there in bed for like an hour looking at my phone thinking, I guess I'm up, you know. So when you have young kids, you just sort of wake up early and that's the deal. But I'm pretty refreshed, though.
What's Kirk Cousins thinking today?
Your tweet last night on him was pretty good. I'll give you that.
I don't even remember what I tweeted.
It was just it was a real simple one you had last night. I'll tell you, I just had it.
Yeah.
It was super simple, real, like, to the point. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Kirk Cousins. LOL.
Yeah.
Man.
I think that may have been this morning for all I know. I just... I try not to react too much to it in the moment. I wanted to just sit there. I was obviously doing other work and stuff, and I thought, let this one marinate for a little bit. And, you know, of course, people have brought out the Jordan Love example and said, hey, you know, look, this is a great example. Obviously, the Packers have done this sort of thing for years. It's worked out. Nobody's questioning the Love pick now. All that's fine and right and good and fair, right? And it's not like Kirk Cousins isn't coming off this you know, season-ending injury and on the back half of his career. But why are you making sure, you know, why are you in giving him this kind of contract in the first place and then using the eighth pick, not on a weapon for him, not as a way to bolster your defense, but for his eventual replacement? This would have been a lot more understandable had Cousins joined the team last year, you know, if we were in that kind of a situation a year into the contract. And, you know, the other thing is Penix turns 24 next month. It's not like Jordan Love, who I think was 20 turning 21 at the time when he came out and was drafted by the Packers. And, you know, Love went at the end of round one. There's a difference between the, you know, whatever, the 26th pick and the eighth selection overall. So I do have my questions. I like Penix. I like him in a dome. I mean, there's some things that make some sense about it, but there's some things that still leave me scratching my head.
Eric, did they overdraft him at 8? Did they overdraft J.J. McCarthy at 10, the Vikings? Did Bo Nix get overdrafted by the Broncos at 12? Just because of
the
need
for quarterback. Ultimately, you have to ask, will they be worth those selections? I mean, Penix wouldn't have gone too much farther. I don't think he makes it past the Raiders at 13. So whatever that's worth, knowing that he was going to be gone and there was probably not much opportunity for Atlanta to manipulate the board and slide back a few spots and still ensure they were going to get him. So from that standpoint, I understand why they made the pick. If they wanted him, they probably needed to take him exactly there and nowhere else. But, you know, to that question and to the McCarthy question, who knows? We won't find out. I will say McCarthy, I think, landed in the best quarterback situation of all the quarterbacks, even Caleb last night. I mean, the Bears are putting something interesting together for sure. Offense looks totally different. I like what they're building there. But I think Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell as play caller, Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson, once he's back healthy again, you know, that's a pretty good setup for a young quarterback, especially one who had a great surrounding cast at Michigan and worked well within it. So, you know, I mean, that's the best thing about it is that he'll have a great chance to thrive given who's around him. And look, the kid's not bad at all. He's just, he doesn't have quite the full resume that I think some of these other guys do.
I got to tell you, Eric, as I was watching the draft last night and I was watching all these offensive players go off the board, I'm like, this is good as a Browns fan that wants them
sure.
to take someone on the defensive side of the ball. I can't think of a better way for maybe you could have had, I don't know, only two or three defensive players get drafted in the first round. But I think this sets up good for a team like the Browns that if they need a defensive player and they're sitting where they are in the second round at 54, yesterday was good for the Browns.
Yeah, no, I think you absolutely can look at the top and who's still available and say, okay, you know, Kool-Aid McKinstry could have been a first-round pick. He didn't go. Cooper DeJean could have been a first-round pick. He didn't go. Johnny Newton. And even if these players don't get all the way to 54 or within range of a short move up, it's still pushing other players down. Marshawn Nyland, you know, I had people telling me the Western Michigan pass rusher was probably going to go somewhere in the top 40 picks. So again, another player sort of borderline first-round pick. So, yeah, I think it sets up pretty nicely for probably the first 15 or 20 picks in the round. I think are going to be, you know, feeling really good about their position. And then the next handful after that, there's still going to be some interesting depth. So, yeah, there's been this big run on offensive linemen. We had six quarterbacks drafted, a fair number of receivers as well. You know, obviously the defensive talent in this draft wasn't as highly regarded as we've seen in recent years, but I'm with you. I think this sets up really nicely. And that's why I can't kill the Bills for trading back, because I think they're going to still end up getting a relatively commensurate player to who they would have gotten at 27 or 8 or 9 or wherever they were picking.
Eric Edholm joining us from NFL.com. To follow up that whole thought, there was only one defensive tackle taken yesterday.
Yeah.
I think it was seven wide receivers in the first round. When the Browns, let's just say wherever they are on the board, if they move up or whatever from 54, do you think there will be a better talent at wide receiver there? Be way down, obviously. Or would there be, you know, one of the a higher-ranked defensive tackle who you think would be a better pick all the way around? Is there enough talent at wide receiver that you think somebody good will be there?
Yeah, good question. I mean, Newton's injury has kind of – I think that's what sort of prevented him from being a first-round pick. But I assume he'll go sort of early in round two. Maybe he's not there. Chris Jenkins from Michigan, I think the NFL is pretty high on him. Of course, his dad played for the Panthers. You know, he was in a rotation at Michigan. Didn't always get to display the individual talent because he was sort of kept on a pitch count because of how many players they had there. But, you know, scouts are high on him too. I would say it's a 50-50 shot if somebody like that's available. Then you have Mason Smith from LSU and Ruk Ororo from Clemson and a few more guys who I think would be perfectly reasonable picks, the middle or back half of the second round, absolutely. The receiving group is pretty good, too. I mean, I like Keon Coleman a lot. Maybe he's too much like David Bell. Maybe that's not a real option for them. You know, Malachi Corley's interesting, but, you know, a little bit of a slot type of projection. I think Roman Wilson, same thing. So, to me, I mean, even though there are some tempting receivers there, I think the D-tackle direction would be the most sensible unless there's a big run in those first, you know, 10, 12 picks of round two. Then obviously it thins out. But if they're spread out a little bit more and maybe one or two of those guys I mentioned are available, that would be my route because it drops off after that, in my opinion.
Eric, it's weird for us here in Cleveland. First of all, I mean, the draft for years was our Super Bowl. And now we sit and we have nothing last night. It was just like, and then the Cavs got blown out before that, but that's another story for another day. But, you know, so we're sitting back and we're looking at this, and then you're saying to yourself, you know, Andrew Berry did a pretty good job with what he's got, considering he doesn't have the first-round picks because of Deshaun Watson. Just give me your general feel on the Browns organization, where they're at right now and how they set themselves up for this draft, knowing that they didn't have a first-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's, you know, the Judy trade was a big move this offseason, and maybe it got a little washed under just based on all the activity that's happened. But I think clearly they're counting on big things from him, and, you know, a couple of smart additions at linebacker if for nothing else than depth and versatility there. So that kind of helps too. And, you know, I mean, you're not going to be able to check off every box. Obviously, if you make a big move for a quarterback, if you make one of these whopper moves, you know, you're going to be shy of picks. But, you know, I mean, the way things have kind of unfolded, I think they're sitting, I don't know about sitting pretty, but I think they're sitting in a good spot right now. And I think they feel pretty comfortable with, you know, their needs and then the talent left on the board kind of, you know, meshing and somebody I think will emerge and they'll be in a nice spot for this draft. So, I mean, just big picture. I mean, I'm not telling you guys anything you don't know. It's going to be so fascinating to see how this Deshaun thing works out, if it does at all. I mean, and that's the big picture. But as far as the draft is concerned, I mean, I think they can still come away with a fairly decent haul even without that first rounder.
Eric Edholm joining us from NFL.com. Did it surprise you that there were no trades until Minnesota moved up one spot to 10?
I thought there would be like one, maybe two trades in the top 10. And when I kind of early on in the process, I thought, wow, this is setting up for like all these quarterbacks. And, you know, I mean, this is, you know, some receivers who are considered, like, you could make the case that in certain draft classes, Harrison, Neighbors, and Adunze all could have been the number one guy on the board had the other ones not been in this class. So, to me, that looked like a happy hunting ground. I thought, wow, this could really – but in the last few days and weeks when I called around, it felt like there were some cold feet and there were some teams up top asking for really big offers. Like, New England had a pie-in-the-sky trade package imagined in their head. That was the only thing that was going to get them to move off their spot. So they weren't in play. Arizona probably had similar designs and they were really high on Marvin too. So, you know, there was only so much they were willing to do. And ultimately, yeah, it ended up being a couple of incremental moves, small little jumps, you know, and I thought the Bears would want to move out of 9 considering they only had 4 picks entering the weekend. They've already made half of them. So I guess they're kind of just saying, let's get 2 elite talents and hope that works. So yeah, it ended up being a little bit of a dud from that standpoint, but yeah, I guess it's understandable if teams were, you know, putting a 40% over market value price on these picks. And that's kind of how I think it played out.
Eric Edholm joining us from NFL.com. Eric, if you're Andrew Berry tonight and beyond here in the draft, are you looking to make picks, or are you looking to pick guys off of other rosters for maybe some late-round picks if that's possible?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think the big picture of this draft is that after round 4, round 5, of course there will be picks after that who succeed, but just the general consensus is because of NIL and because there are fewer underclassmen coming out, taking advantage of these opportunities and staying in college or transferring to another school and maybe getting one last shot somewhere else, you know, especially when you see Michael Penix transfer from Indiana, Bo Nix transfer from Auburn and have success. Obviously there's a playbook here. It's affected the draft depth. And I think after about the 150th pick, if you hit on anything after that, good for you. You found a diamond in the rough. It's not like there aren't going to be helpful players after that, but you know, this is maybe where a team that, you know, that doesn't have those draft picks and they see that one player they like, you know, call the Browns because, you know, there might be a deal to be made or something like that. There are a few other teams that fall into that category. I wouldn't be opposed at all to that approach if you feel like you can get a bird in the hand, something that's a little bit more of a known quantity, even if they're older or more expensive or whatnot.
Eric, thank you for your time. Great to have you with us today, and good luck the rest of the draft. Get some sleep.
Thanks, Eric.
Tonight's your night. You guys get to enjoy it. I hope
we are pumped, man. Oh. Round 2, that's all us. Look at us.
We can't wait, buddy. Thanks, Eric. Eric Edholm joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Tonight's the night, he said, and defensive tackle could have some talent there. Could it ever? We'll explain next on Basket of Phelps.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow, really? He just turned my mic off in the middle of a very important read.
That he wrote.
That is a part of the station. I can't. That would be like turning me off in the middle of a commercial. I've lost all respect for the Poobah. Oh, wait a minute. I never had any. The first 5,000 fans of the game will receive a playoff T-shirt courtesy of University Hospitals, Drensky Sports Medicine Institute. I drive by that all the time on 271. And the rally towel from Advanced Door. Tickets on sale now at ClevelandMonsters.com. The code word is fear. Fear for your champions of the East, the Monsters. Go to 92.3thefan.com.
I think that is just has just become the longest contest giveaway we've ever had.
It is because he turned my mic off, and I just wanted to give people information because because you don't want to talk about hockey, I do. And
you're an information guy, Chuck.
Well, that Belleville-Toronto series is very important to Monsters fans.
So before we get into the NFL draft here, Jake, you just played I don't want to rag on him, but you just played something from Jared Allen.
Yeah.
Could you play that one more time? The Cavs lost by 38 points to the Magic. 38 points. They were down by 16 and a half. Quickly fell down by 32 because they had no response after halftime. The big pep talk and everything. And Jarrett said what?
He's a little disappointed. Here we go.
Really? A little upset and a little disappointed. We lost by 38.
In a playoff game where your season eventually will be on the line.
Jarrett's a nice guy. He's level-headed. He's not going to yell and scream. That's not the guy he is.
He's kind of the Jeff Phelps of the locker room.
We're a little disappointed and upset about losing by 38 in a playoff game.
Isn't he not the Jeff Phelps of the locker room? He is.
That's why I like him so much.
He's like, you know, we got blown up by 30, man. You know, the one thing is that they were able to put the basketball through the hoop.
The score that matters, Andy, is 2-1.
Okay. Keep telling yourself that, big boy.
Well, no, that's a fact.
And then it becomes 2-2 when you don't care.
Well, now they're
on the wrong side.
They were just awful.
And now all of a sudden you are 3-4.
Jake, play one more time, will you? I just like it so much. Okay, that's not it.
Yeah, that's not
it. Way to go, Jake. Nice job, man.
Yep, here you go.
You know, you're helping him.
There we go.
You're helping him out, and he's ridiculing you. That's
I know. Ridiculous. He put me on the spot. I had to go back and try to
We're all having fun today.
Tell him that's garbage.
Everybody's a little cranky today.
You know what, Andy? Did you enjoy the 2016 Cavs parade?
I don't know. Did you enjoy the 2016?
No, I didn't go.
I've never, ever been asked that question before. So it kind of hit me, like, really weird when he asked that question because, like, no one's ever really asked me that question before.
Jared Allen might be the Jeff Phelps of the Cavs locker room, but I guarantee you he's not asking anyone that question.
That's true. Good point.
You know why?
Because he wasn't at the parade.
There you go.
That's right.
I was, and I enjoyed it.
And, I mean, it was a big day for sunblock.
Gosh, wasn't it, though?
So hot.
It was awful.
It was so hot. And I just remember having to stretch on the air, sitting there with Leon Bibb, and we had 10 people sitting up with it. We were the only two that could talk for like 4 straight hours before they could get set up on the stage.
I remember sitting,
because it took forever to get to the streets of downtown Cleveland
in the sun, watching Austin Carr's eyes roll into the back of his head because he didn't have any food.
Really?
We took care of that, but yes, Austin's almost passing out on set.
Wow.
That wasn't
good. We had like a smorgasbord. You guys could have came down to the tent next to us.
Well, you worked for a big-time operation that was going to feed people.
And you were working for somebody that didn't even want to provide water? Is that what you tried to say?
We had Darlene running around getting food and water from other people.
And is that what happened?
Yes.
Oh, well. You
got to get him some food. I'm on it.
Trust me, I was not working for a big-time operation. To put it bluntly, as one said, if it cost an – oh, maybe I shouldn't go down this
road. All right, so seven wide receivers drafted last night. And you might think, okay, well, that position's depleted. Well, I beg to differ. The defensive tackle position, one guy taken last night. That was it, one defensive tackle. And you might think, there's an abundance there.
There's an abundance there,
well,
Jeff.
Well, let me give you this. To me, it's wide open for whatever the Browns want to do. I just went by NFL.com rankings, okay? And they do these draft profiles, which I just find fun.
Just fascinating.
Fun.
You love them.
Fun.
Fun. Some people stay home at night. They play Parcheesi. Other people choose to drink. Maybe some partake in other vices. Jeff Phelps, man, he is looking at the advanced scouting sheets.
Have you ever played Parcheesi?
When I was really young, I don't remember. I just remember the board was really boring.
The NFL.com folks do their rankings.
Right.
Okay. And they grade everybody. Yes. And if you're a pretty good player, you get a grade of 6 point or better. Mm. And it says what they say about that, traits or talent to be above average backup, 6 or better. Okay. There are 15 wide receivers still out there with a rank of 6 point, a grade of 6.0 or better.
Really?
And there are 15 defensive tackles with a grade of 6.0 or better. So that's 30 guys. Browns are picking 54th here. That means at least, 8 of those guys are going to be available. So
we're looking, their highest.
If they took nothing but wide receivers and defensive tackles, you're still going to get one of the more highly rated on the board.
So the highest rated on the board, then tell me, correct me if I'm wrong, was Malik Nabers at 6.86?
I don't have that in front of me.
I'm just looking at prospects.
That. Yeah,
does that sound right?
He was ranked higher than Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, slightly higher than him. So I'm just trying to look and see where that leaves, who the next. Oh, I see. 8.0 is the perfect prospect. Really? There's no Pro Bowl talent, though, in this draft, according to what they were saying.
Which, of course, all of those things are very up in the air. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, you'll find out. But, Marvin Harrison Jr. will be a Pro Bowler.
I don't think there's any question. I think Malik Nabers will be, and Roma Dunsey will as well.
I'm looking. So the highest
kid. Worked on his grandpa's dairy farm.
Oh.
I like Brian Thomas Jr. going to Jacksonville, too, at wide receiver. But there are a lot of wide receivers still available. So if I have my druthers, Andy, they'll get one of the wide receivers out there. Ladd McConkey, who they've talked about.
Yeah, that's the number
Malachi
one guy.
Malachi Corley. Troy Franklin, I think Adonai Mitchell from Texas will end up with Buffalo if they don't trade out of that top pick in the second round today. I think that's the guy they'll take. Hmm. They need to get a wide receiver. Traded Stephon Diggs. They better go get a wide receiver. Don't have Gabe Davis. He left in free agency. So I think they'll go get a guy today. And if they drop back, they might get 2 or 3 guys. They might go that route. But I also think defensive tackle is the other spot, I would think, for the Browns, and I think there will be some talented guys there. So I think the Browns are in a really good spot the way the round went yesterday in the first round, even with 7 wide receivers going off the board.
You're looking at especially tight end, which we all know that's a spot that the Browns could take based on their head coach.
Man, I'd be surprised.
I would be surprised, too, but Brock Bowers was the only tight end
which,
on
by the
list.
Way, is interesting because the Raiders took Michael Meyer last year out of Notre Dame, and he's supposed to be a big-time guy, and they go out and they duplicate that. It's a different skill set. They duplicate the position.
It's interesting.
Interesting. Yeah.
According to NFL.com, that when you look at 3, 4, 5, 6, 3, 4, 5 are all Big Ten tight ends, 7, 8, 9, you get Illinois, Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, and Iowa. Just the way that the Big Ten's able to churn out Big Tens, according to the guys, turn out tight ends for this, with Cade Stover being at the top there, pride of the Buckeyes.
You think so?
Yeah, I like him. I think, you know, but you got to make sure you bring someone in who can block. That's like the whole thing.
I just think that there's a great opportunity for the Browns tonight to add a player that can help them.
I agree.
I wonder if they get creative.
Just because of the way the draft went yesterday. That was so silly stupid with quarterbacks.
The highest rated on...
They just smell desperate, doesn't it? All of those quarterbacks that high, it's desperate on a 50-50 shot. When you know you could probably bring in somebody rock solid to play a position.
Penix is getting all the headlines right now.
Right.
But go, Dan. This is good. Go.
Bo Nix that high?
Yeah, that's it.
What? Like, seriously? He's Bo Nix. Like, he's fine. He can operate inside of an offense. And Denver took him at 12?
This goes back to what we talked about a couple of times this week, where teams have been bailing on these guys who are high draft choices. And I'm not saying this guy's going to be great. I don't even know if he's going to stick in the league. They just picked up a guy who was highly thought of enough to be the second overall pick in a draft just 3 years ago in Zach Wilson. And they got him for nothing. And then is Sean Payton the quarterback whisperer? Okay, great. Then couldn't you coach up a guy who was number two overall and was listed by NFL.com, Andy, in these same draft profiles? Mm-hmm. Boom or bust potential is what they said about Zach Wilson. So far, bust. Could Peyton turn him into the boom? Bo Nix, way down on most people's draft board, his line is, will eventually be a plus starter. Plus. That's middle of the road. What happens when you get a middle of the road quarterback? Plus starter. You're looking for the next guy. And I just thought it was a very interesting use of that pick. Maybe he ends up being really good. You know, and maybe Penix ends up being really good. And he might be. And maybe J.J. McCarthy ends up being really good. But that just goes to show the premium that these teams pay for that quarterback position. Pretty incredible. Bill's in Kent, home of the Golden Flashes.
Hey, Bill.
What's up, Bill? Hey, guys. How are you guys?
We're good.
We're fun.
Good. Two things. One, did you guys see Dan Levy's article a couple days ago? He went through all 4 years of Barry's draft. The only thing he didn't do was ascribe a grade. And I wondered what you guys would grade Barry in his 4 years. And then secondly, I just wanted to say, I'd like to see us grab an offensive lineman. I saw what the Steelers and the Bengals did. I still think, particularly at guard, we're Batonio in his 11th or 12th year. Teller is, he's solid, but I think we need more depth there. So that's where I'd like to see us go. But curious how you would grade Barry's drafts. And then if you'll allow me, I'll give you my take as well.
All right. I think he's done a good job. I won't say he's done a great job. Is that fair?
Jeff, I think he's terrific at signing free agents.
And trades.
Creative, and he creates. But it's a lot easier to evaluate talent that's been in the league 3 or 4 years than to evaluate at the college level and project how they'll do at the pro level. And I think at best, he's been average and slightly below. If you look at those 4 years of drafts, a lot of the Browns' top players came either through free agency, and I'll give them credit for that. Mm-hmm. But again, back to my point about evaluating talent, or their holdovers from Dorsey.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even before Dorsey in the case of Batonio. So
the one thing, Bill, I would say is
good.
Yeah, the one thing
go
I
ahead,
would say is this. I think he's done a pretty good job up in the draft of locating some guys who can come in and help. I thought Martin Emerson was a terrific third-round pick. I think Alex Wright still could be. But when you get past round three, and I don't even want to bring up the wide receivers in round three, I don't think he's done a very good job with most of his later round picks. That's how you can really build a roster. If you can hit on fourth, fifth, sixth-round picks, and Bill, thank you. I know DeJuan Jones. I think DeJuan's terrific. He was a fourth-round pick. But Cade York, Jerome Ford. Are you sold on Jerome? Maybe. I think he's done a nice job. I don't think they've done a really good job of hitting on picks past the third round. And you could make the argument they haven't even hit on enough of those. What's that do for your confidence tonight? And folks, are you targeting anything in particular? It's Baskin and Phelps right here on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I always thought the Emmys were a little interesting.
Emmys are the most ridiculous thing going in local television.
Jeff, are you belittling television prom, local TV prom? Are you making
Aren't
fun
we
of
great?
That?
Look at us.
Hey.
My God, let's pat each other on the back. The interns graded these and said I won.
They got 3 pieces of free pizza to be able to do. This is very exciting.
And
by the way, for the low, low cost of probably, what is it, $200 an entry? To let those interns take a look at it, that's worth it. But I do want to congratulate Ken on that. So.
That's great.
I know.
That's great. If
And by the way, the Globe, the last one I won, mm-hmm. the Globe fell off the top of it. So Emmy's standing there with like half an arm.
I entered 4 times.
Yes.
I won 3. Nobody gave me a pay raise. Nobody said anything. I thought, I'm going to save my $75.
And it was only $75?
I have ever since.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. The other thing about the Emmys... If you put 20 names on the entrance,
yeah,
everybody has to pay $75.
No, it's Jeff. It's way more than that.
Whatever it is now,
it was more than that.
Well, I quit while I was ahead.
Do you think we got to ask Ken when we see him next time? Will he go to TV prom because he's going to have to go rent a tux, which is good because
I'd like to thank everybody for giving me this Emmy. It doesn't mean anything. I have 97 of them. Look at them. That's great.
Our investigative team really worked hard on this. I mean, I can't tell you how many lives we ruined just to get this little gold statue.
I'm not kidding. I know somebody who won an Emmy because she typed the graphics on a show. Like put up, you know, the little name thing.
Yeah.
Andy Baskin.
Yeah.
Talk show host.
I know someone that...
They won an Emmy for that.
I know someone who won
Apparently
an Emmy...
they spelled your name correctly.
And didn't do any work on the show... As I sat there and handed everything to them and said, no, let's do this, organize it this way. Okay, we're good. Great show. It was a lot of fun. And then they turned it in with their name on it. Good job. Good job. No bitterness there.
Can I give a gentle hug to Roger Goodell?
Can I give a not-so-gentle reprimand to Roger Goodell?
Yes, let me give my gentle
hug
first.
Okay, you go first.
First of all, the guy makes a ton of money. Good for him. Congratulations. I personally think he's done a competent job as the commissioner of the National Football League. Last night, he's walking out on stage in Detroit, you know, and the whole him getting booed thing has become a thing. He's walking out. He's not wearing a tie. That's okay. I mentioned... He could have worn a tie. Menigan yelled at me for that. He had the top two buttons on his shirt unbuttoned last night.
Oh, my man. The red pen looked
all sloppy. He had his jacket. So. He had his jacket buttoned. That looked a little sloppy. Whatever he wants to do, that's fine. The guys are dressed to the nines. I mean, they're getting these custom-made suits.
Right.
And Rodgers looking like he went down to, fill-in-the-blank department store and bought a blue suit with a blue shirt that was missing a button or two. Okay. That said, whatever. You're Rog. You make so much. Good for you. And I like the commish. Dude apparently just had some back surgery recently.
Okay.
He's out there getting picked up by these defensive and offensive linemen and shook by the end of the dang draft. That poor guy was limping like crazy. And one time he walked out. Did you see this? He dropped the card.
No, I didn't see it.
And he had already been limping. Oh. And he dropped the card. And I thought, oh, dear God, don't blow something out, bending over to pick it up. And he did bend over to pick it up. And it took him a while.
Did he look like he was in pain?
Yes.
Oh.
It wasn't just like, oh, I dropped the card, pick it up. It was like, oh, God, I dropped the card. Okay.
I'm in trouble.
All right, I have the card. And I honestly wanted to see some kid come out and, like, spot the new football, you know?
Yeah.
Something like that. I wanted to see some kid come out and pick up the card for him and hand it to him. So I felt bad for Raj last night because he clearly was uncomfortable. But he gutted it out, and some of these guys are picking him up and stuff, and I just thought, oh, don't break anything, please.
So, I don't know. Did you see the Open? Did you see the Open?
I try to avoid all that stuff. Tell me who they picked.
Hang on one second. Did you see the Open?
Oh, I had our Open right here on the Browns Radio Network.
Oh, but did the visual, like, and you could hear the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
When the commissioner came out with Eminem,
yes.
Right? Did you see it, Hody? Did you see the Open?
I did see part of it, yes.
Okay. So here's the problem with the Open, and I'm not trying to be mean, okay? They've got this amazing shot of, 275,000 people.
That was pretty cool.
In Detroit. Pretty it was cool. Great.
Well done, then, Detroit.
Then
well
they,
done.
They did a video leading up to the Open where the commissioner's with Eminem, and he's like, let's have a wrap-off, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, that's kind of funny, blah, 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 right? So why not, when you go to the live shot, I don't need to see the commissioner. You've got this favorite son of the city of Detroit. I'm trying to think of, what it would look like if they did it here in Cleveland, who they would bring out or whatever, right? Like, that's what I'm thinking in the back of my mind. If this was in Cleveland, who would they bring out, right? I don't know. Who would they bring out? Any thoughts? Anybody? Anybody? Anybody?
Bueller. LeBron was busy.
Machine Gun Kelly,
that was one of my thoughts.
I don't need to see anybody's favorite son. I need to see the commish.
But it doesn't matter.
Let's go.
But that's not true. It's about the city. It's about the celebration of the game of football. So you know what I would have done if I'm the NFL?
Tell me, Andy.
Man, you've got this video. You play the video. You show the lights. You show the crowd going crazy once they realize they're on TV. Let Eminem sing or do something like that, and then get the crowd even crazier. Then bring out the legends of the Lions like they did yesterday, which I thought was great. And then go, Detroit, we're ready. The clock is ours. And then you turn and you cut to Roger Goodell, and he says, Chicago, you are now on the clock. Boom. Would have been the greatest Open of all time. Instead, I got to listen to the commissioner have this horrible, staged, scripted talk with everybody who's out there, and he keeps calling Eminem M. He keeps calling him M. And I'm like, dude,
there's another M.
We're too old for this.
Anyway.
You're like, it was as awkward as Eminem with Kirk Herbstreit and Brent Musburger. Remember how bad that was on college? Yeah. It was on Saturday Night Football.
Well, Eminem seemed out of it.
So it was the same thing. Right. So let Eminem do his thing. If you're going to bring him up there, let him. That's what I wanted. I want to see him do his thing.
This public service announcement brought to you by Baskin Productions.
Oh, I can't have a full thought. You got to cut me off at the end, man. I don't appreciate you.
No,
right
I
now.
Thought you did. You did
I let
job.
You go, Dr. Red Pen.
Baskin Productions.
You'd
be good at it.
Would that not have been better?
One of the great things about the draft is, they do the interviews.
They wasted Eminem up on stage. They wasted him.
I didn't care about Eminem. I want to hear about players. Anywho.
I would have rather watched Eminem.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
So they oftentimes are interviewing family and things, people who are not used to being interviewed, which there's nothing wrong with not being used to being interviewed.
Sure.
Okay. But sometimes it leads to awkward moments or hilarious moments. And that happened last night, didn't it, Dan?
So Brian Thomas was drafted
by Jacksonville, wide receiver from LSU.
Absolutely.
And where's LSU located?
Well, it was located in a certain area that we'll get to in a little bit.
Way to rip the joke out. Keep going.
ESPN
setting up.
Had their coverage going. Our buddy Laura Rutledge doing the interviews with the parents, draft picks, all of that kind of
Laura
stuff.
Laura does a fine job.
For ESPN.
Haley Hartung was on the NFL Network. I watched the NFL Network for this last night.
Well, congratulations. They're going to send you a sticker in the mail that you could put on your helmet.
I'd like that.
And so,
except the Browns helmet, I can't put a sticker on it.
And so, Laura Rutledge, you know, you asked these questions about the journey that it takes to get to this moment.
I heard there was a lot of journey talk, huh?
All the stops along the way.
Don't stop believing, Jeff.
Well, then this happened.
That's great.
That's such a nice, honest answer. Dan, can we have that one more time? You'll get it.
Of course he did.
See, this is what happens.
He's got to reboot the computer.
This is what happens when you interview people who are nice, normal people and who are going to give you an honest answer to what your question was and not play along with everything.
Love it.
And that's where the journey started. And today we find ourselves in Detroit.
In Detroit. Yeah. I'll tell you what, boy, driving up 75 was a pain in the butt. We hit traffic.
We got stuck in Cincinnati. Trying to get through Kentucky was a bear.
You ever drive through Monticello, Arkansas?
That would have been a good answer.
Just the best.
What was the joke I saw yesterday?
What was she trying to go for, though? You know, where was the family?
There was a joke I saw yesterday. It was from a movie where maybe it was William Shatner asked somebody in a movie and they said, hey, what would be, there was like a beauty pageant, like, what would be the perfect date? And they go, well, April 28th, because the weather's not too hot or too cold. Such a Les Levine, right?
And I mean, that is a hike. You know, you are going from the bottom of the country pretty close
to drive
to the
from
top.
Michigan all the way up there. That's serious.
Yeah.
That's a hike.
This is a long haul.
It really is. So I kind of give it to him, but that was an all-timer. So good.
That's just priceless.
We need more people to answer inane questions like that.
What's the farthest drive you've ever made?
Across the country.
You've gone all the way across the country? To?
Los Angeles, California to Cleveland, Ohio.
Wow, that's a good one.
That's
Jeff,
serious.
What have you?
Akron to Beaumont.
Oh, that's not a bad one. Cleveland to Missoula was a bear. Was a bear.
I bet.
South Dakota. But I did realize that along the way, at some point, I had driven every mile of I-90 between Boston and Seattle.
Yeah.
So that was kind of an achievement. I remember we accomplished that a couple years ago. But
think about it now. You know, like I drove all the way across the country many years ago for my first job. You did the same.
Oh.
No cell phones.
I had one coming home.
Could you imagine putting your kids, anybody listening, putting your kids on the road, wishing them luck, sending them all the way across the country with no cell phones these days? Good luck.
I got a pocket full of quarters, so I can call you.
Good luck, everybody. B.A., Brian Anderson, next on Baskin and Phelps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.